Welcome to episode 18 of The Iron Agenda, the podcast about War Machine, hordes, and whatever else is on our minds.
Ho, ho, ho! Welcome to The Iron Agenda, the podcast with coal in its stocking. I'm Santa Claus.
I'm Dave.
I'm Pat.
I'm James.
And apparently Josh isn't with us this week, but we have Santa instead.
He's tied up in my sleigh.
Well, that's certainly an upgrade.
I always knew that Santa had some weird kinks to him. So
Santa,
that's
what's
cool.
Santa, what's Josh's safe word?
There isn't one.
Josh's safe word is...
That's right.
That's right.
It's not Rudolph?
No. I'm actually Josh.
Oh.
Well, we have James with us today. Thanks for coming back, James. James, you were just on the show.
Yeah, not too long ago, a couple weeks.
I guess we weren't finished with you.
No.
We'll actually get around to talking about the Kruger list you brought this time.
Yay.
I don't want to talk about Kruger.
Well, we're going to have to talk about Kruger.
Why?
We haven't talked about Circle yet, and we're on episode 18.
Are we really?
We are. Yeah. Well, and that's not counting a bonus episode. And the rules episode.
Wait, we're 18 episodes in. I was going to say this for episode 20, but I'll pose this question to you anyway, Josh.
Mm-hmm.
So, every other week, huh?
You asked me that in episode 1.
Yeah.
But this episode should drop on Christmas Day. So that's why Santa was here earlier.
He came by and made a special appearance for us.
He did. But he had to fly off.
Reindeer were hungry.
Reindeer need food.
Brown reindeer needs food badly.
There you go. We received a voicemail in response to the last episode where James was on, so let's see what that listener had to say.
Well, this is Buzz Hammer speaking. Just listened to your episode about what you want to do with stupid combos in small community. I mostly play in North Colorado. Well, not even North Colorado. The bold area of Colorado. Community is probably about 15 people. Really, nobody in our community has picked up Epic Flat, so it never was an issue. I occasionally play with some people that are further in the south end of Denver, and it has a protectorate of men at play in there, which does win the testament with the Gav. Otherwise, I haven't really seen them in tournaments. A lot of flats, basic flats, which is primarily because of one person who really likes running it. Old Witch, same person. See it a lot. So as far as Gavs are concerned, we're sick of Old Witch, because it's just annoying, and it's painful, and it slows the game down. But the broken combos, nobody really sticks with one and keeps on tying it. Never really had the issue. Some of us are practicing for a harder list, and one guy is practicing a bolder list. But that's behind the scenes, and you know ahead of time, hey, I'm going to be playing my bolder list. And expect it, bring something to beat it, or bring something on caliber. And those games are also, you know, play until completion half the time, because at some point you're just like, wow, okay, I planned it at work, let's call the game, let's move on, and it's playtesting, it's not actual games. As far as Baldur, because I have played against you, punch him a lot. Easiest way to nerf him to the point where he isn't quite as hideous is to reverse the ruling on the Bone Grinders affecting his spell range and then the World Wardens being able to copy it. That additional 3 inches puts it far enough out of range that a lot of things just can't get to him fast enough. He can play too far back. So I think that would be an easy place where you can, with minor modifications, do nerf him a little bit. And very few people would be impacted by it. Circle in general will be impacted by it, but really Baldur's the one who does it the most. Anyway, enjoyed the podcast, just picked it up, keep on going, and edit out the pieces where people are arguing about rock, paper, and scissor. That's it. Have fun. Bye.
So, Josh, what beats paper?
Dynamite.
Okay.
I thought it was interesting that he mentioned that the Old Witch was their annoying caster to face.
I could see that, though. She is a little bit of a pain.
Sure.
I mean, she's not, like, the top-tier uber caster, but she's kind of like the protector of Benoth. She's like the protector caster. She annoys you.
You know? He mentioned that she tends to slow the games down, if I understood right. Well, I can see how that's true. You know,
prevents me, for example, from moving my guys around or whatever, but there are a lot of feats that really slow the game down in the same way, or that limit your opponent in the same similar way so that it slows them down, I guess.
I think part of it, though, is you have to sit there with the Old Witch and decide if you're going to take the damage and move mm-hmm. or not.
Yeah.
Because you have the option, you'll just pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
It requires more thought.
Yeah, there's more consideration in it. It's not so cut and dry as with a Kreos's feat where, okay, you have to stand up and sacrifice something, or Sorcia's where you're frozen.
Yeah.
You actually have a choice one way or the other.
Yeah.
And there's also the way to, you know, to sort of get around it. I mean, if you can figure out a way to kill the Scrapjack
or the witch.
Or the witch herself and get rid of
that's
that
true.
Part of the feat, then, oh, I don't have to worry about this. What is it? Is it a POW 12 or 14?
POW 14. 14.
Did taking that POW 14. So I know the last time I played the Old Witch was against Tim. And that's actually what I did, is it took me the longest time to figure out, okay, what combination of my force am I going to be able to use? He was using the Scrapjack to, you know, to kill that Scrapjack and get rid of that part of the feat and then be able to move on.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see that. It does take a while. And I think the other part of it too, maybe for us around here, I know we do have Old Witch players, but I haven't seen the Old Witch a lot myself. Like, I've played her, I believe, once or maybe only twice. And it would be Tim. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know.
Well, Tim's our primary Kador player around here lately, and he's playing a lot of Zarkova lately and that kind of stuff. So
right. mm-hmm. There was a league game a while back where Vader took Old Witch versus there was a set of twins here that play, and he took it against one of them, which was also playing the Old Witch. Okay. So he was able to feat on the Old Witch or teleport the other Old Witch or whatever it was. But that was the first
time. Oh, that was funny.
That was pretty funny. Because it works on either Old Witch or either Scrapjack.
But I know that one of the, like, a frustrating thing for me playing Signar against the Old Witch is that, you know, if I take my trenchers and have my smoke, there's always that danger. I'm like, well, I guess I'm not going to be using smoke because, well, it doesn't matter anyway.
Yeah,
it's not going to block line of sight. And if I pop smoke, oh, look who's going to pop up in my smoke and decimate my whole line of trenchers. So,
yep.
You know, you just don't want to take trenchers against the Old Witch.
Just, I'll tell you, Pat, I would actually think about leaving the trenchers back some more and throwing smoke to try and bait her to jump in so you could then kill her.
Yeah, because if it was close enough to where you could get her over there, but she couldn't do anything else other than the trenchers,
right.
That'd be...
Yeah.
And depending who I was playing, that might work. Tim, not going to fall for it.
Right.
He mentioned removing the Bone Grinder's ability, that Craft Talisman, I think it is, from affecting the Wold Wardens.
That would definitely help a little bit.
I don't think it's going to matter as much with Baldur, because he's going to be in the middle of the table,
mm-hmm.
controlling Mosh Pit anyway. I mean, he's
right.
going to be up there with his Wardens.
Sure.
But especially with Kruger, who's going to be hiding more in the back, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you've got his entire control range where the Wold Wardens are near the edge of it, and then they're thrown mm-hmm. 13 inches further from that. That's where it gets...
Hell, I'd go so far as to say that the Wold Wardens are the version of the Arcantric Relay and knock 2 inches off range of spells.
I don't know. See, that might be going too far, because it is only offensive spells.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case... I mean, they were built to boost and damage with their spells. I think taking that away might be too much.
It could be.
Because we didn't really have a problem with it before.
It could
not
be,
to this extent.
I guess my problem is I never ever see them get in the melee anymore. And they're great in melee.
Yeah.
And I think that's just completely overshadowed by their spellcasting.
Part of that might be that since most of the casters can't heal them, and if you can't heal them, then you have to use Shifting Stones, people might be hesitant to actually get them in the thick of things and have them damaged.
But, I could see that.
But yeah. Still, they got a lot of hitboxes, and they hit pretty hard. Awesome chain attack.
Decent armor.
Yeah.
Okay.
So thanks for sending in that voicemail, and hey, if you have something to say, send us a voicemail. We also received an email from Chris Barney out there in podcast land, and he writes in response to our last James episode, "What do you suggest for people that love the fluff or background to one of these top-tier casters, units, or builds, and would love to play them more, but don't want to upset their friends or opponents on a regular basis?" Then he gives a few examples of things he means. He says, possibly gimping yourself by deliberately not playing to the caster's or unit's strength. For example, don't use Darius' feet, don't use Evlad's feet, and so on. 2, take the top-tier caster with weaker jacks or units. Say, max out on trencher chain guns or hammersmiths or something like that. 3, handicap yourself or take fewer points. 4, take a deliberately unoptimized list. Or 5, screw it, noob, play like you have a bear. I think he's joking on the last one.
I think so. I think number 5 is a good way to kill small communities.
I agree.
I think we kind of mentioned that. But, I mean, it is in some instance a valid argument because the game's about trying to win,
mm-hmm.
but that's not the route that I would go personally.
Yeah, I mean, if you're making your opponent not have fun, then something's wrong.
Yeah,
you need to know your opponents, who you're dealing with, what kind of skill level they have.
Right, like was mentioned in the voicemail. If you want to bring a top tier list, that's cool. Let them know ahead of time.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Let your opponent know so they can bring something equal.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly,
or so they can turn down the game
there
if they don't want.
And I've said this before. You know, you're talking about playing with certain lists or certain casters. you know, if you've played with them long enough, or and certainly in your community, if you've won a lot of tournaments with them, or you know that one big tournament, you know, maybe you know put them to the side for a while, retire them for now, and move on to something else. Maybe that's not exactly what you're talking about in your email. You know, you're saying I want to play this certain caster, but if it really is causing a problem in your community and people are really tired of it, consider moving on. I would probably want to go that route as opposed to what you suggest, like you know, sort of gimping yourself. I'm a Signar player, obviously, so you say, like, not using Darius's feet. My gut reaction to that is like, well, okay, so I can't use my feet, but my opponent who is, say, is playing, Dave's playing Krios, he can still use his feet. That, eh, I don't know if I like that as much, but, I don't know.
I think there's a difference between gimping your list and just simply taking something that's not overly optimized. Like, yeah. Taking Centurion, like, take Darius, and a Hammersmith, if you want, they're not bad, just that Signar has better options. Don't take three Centurions, Junior, and...
It's a Centurion, not a Centurion.
More
like a Centurion off.
Yeah.
That's true.
Anyway, you know, don't just fill up in Centurions and Stormlances and take, you know, and Alexia or whatever, and take the list that's just all the bad stuff together.
Yeah. I mean, you could certainly modify a Darius list. I wouldn't go so far as to say a silly thing you could do with Darius is say, instead of taking melee jacks, I'm going to take all ranged jacks with Darius because that would be, well, silly.
Well, even all the ranged jacks still have a melee weapon.
This is true.
I don't think that playing a silly list is the option, or is the way you should go, though. I mean, it's one thing to play a silly list. It's another one, like I said, just not make something overly optimized. Like, I play Krios. I don't bring Deliverers, Redeemers, Zealots and Hernan John, you know, I don't bring in the traditional drop and pop. I'll bring a balanced force. For the longest time, I didn't play Zealots at all. I mean, it's just.
Then you learned and you began to know better. So you always say.
No, actually, I played them for a while and then stopped.
The speed bump unit.
They're not a speed bump unit. They're an assassin bump.
Well, yeah.
I just think that we should draw a line between. Playing something that's silly, that's clearly working against the caster strength, and just not working completely towards them.
Like, if you were to take Tom, don't take the Cav, but he works just as effectively with Temple Flame Guard with their reach on the feet, with the Zealots on their feet.
Yeah.
On the just take a few things that are a little more toned down with the caster, not completely gimp yourself, not ignore your feet, but just play some of the different models. Some that aren't just a perfect match with that caster.
There's not just one way to play any caster. You know, everybody knows the Haley Turtle. And now that, to a large extent, was fixed with the way they redid Temporal Barrier. But still, you've still got the Haley Turtle. I don't think I've ever really played a Haley Turtle when I've played her. And I don't play her much anymore, but I didn't like that style of play of camping and you know, just sort of slow-moving force and hiding behind whatever. So, you know, there's just explore different ways to play, you know, your favorite caster. You don't have to go with that optimized list that that everybody talks about on the big boards. Try something else, you know. Look for other interesting combinations. You may find something completely new that no one has ever discovered thus far.
Yeah, and I'll just take a couple examples here. The Signar Charger, Warjack. The Legion Tariff, Warbeast.
Or the Rake, even.
The Defiler, even in some instances. These are models that people don't use, not because they're bad, just because you have better choices.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to take these just to cripple yourself, but you could take some of these in a list. Like, I played a Saren list. In the Steamroller Tournament War Machine Weekend, and I put a Rake in there with it, and I figured I'm going to try and make the Rake work.
Right.
And it was not the most competitive list in the world, but I was by no means taking a gimp list.
Right.
And there's so many options out there. It's not hard to find something you've never used before or haven't used too much. You know, even if you view it as a little challenge to get it to work in some instance.
Yeah.
You might learn something. You
like the fluff. Let's say you're going to play a 500-point game. You really like the fluff of a person. You like the Exemplar Army. You like, for whatever reason, the Winter Guard Army. But you're only playing at 500 points. Epic Source is not an option.
Right. Same thing with, like, Satixus. Yeah. I love Satixus. But I might occasionally... Well, actually, Scar works well with any troop. I mean, Satixus have trouble hitting while she uses Dark Guidance. They're not getting an Elite Cadre bonus, and they're not getting AD or anything. But that's still a pretty cool, strong theme army. And if your opponent happens to have a lot of jacks, you might actually do very well.
Yeah. Right. But what happens when the theme is the overpowered...
then you have to go into it knowing that you're playing it for the theme, not necessarily to dominate your opponent. You know, you like to see the models on the table. I can't think of any other reason.
Well, but what about the person across from you? I mean, even if you're not playing it to dominate them, mm-hmm. they're still looking at that and going, well, shit, there's model X, Y, Z, and that damn Warcaster again.
I just think getting pigeonholed.
Yeah.
I mean, if I liked, for example, I like bottle rockets. Because they're just, you know, hypothetically, because they're a really cool, fluff idea, these random rockets that shoot out and go all over the place. Mm-hmm. So I take Krios, I fill up on delivers, I take Rovens, who we can make more, and I take two or three Redeemers.
That's the pop and drop list.
It is. What do I play instead if I really like the theme of bottle rockets, mm-hmm. but that's annoying people I play against?
Is it you like bottle rockets, or you also like Krios? I mean, because we were talking about top-tier casters. Mm. And a list.
Let's say I really like Krios.
Okay.
Or Sevi. That sentence does the same thing.
True, exactly.
So let's say that you can't change the Warcaster, but he is part of the problem.
Well, with Severius, you can opt not to use Death Sentence.
Could.
With Krios, it's hard to not use your feet.
Mm-hmm.
You could use the feet early, deliberately, maybe just to reposition instead of actually go for the kill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, try. Maybe you want to learn to use Krios to kill using something else, and so you feet to get yourself in position to let this other thing going yeah. for the kill next turn. Thinking outside the box a little bit. I don't play Krios, so obviously I can't think from that mindset 100%.
Or feet with the intention of getting rid of a unit or something that you know bothers you and you're on your opponent's side of the table rather than the caster itself.
But you guys are talking about ways to play the army different. It's the army itself that can aggravate people, seeing it across the table. Mm. I think it's the army that needs, maybe, to change. Like, for example, even if I like bottle rockets, this is hard for me, an argument for me to make, because this isn't really a theme I overly obsess over, but drop down to one Redeemer and go to a minimum unit of delivers, you still got your bottle rockets, and then take a bunch of melee stuff. You're less optimizing. It's still dangerous, but it's different.
And again, you're not overly pushing that one aspect that's causing the problem.
Right.
See that?
I mean, I think that's kind of the key is, I don't want to take a bunch of Repenters. Actually, that would be kind of fun, too. But with the intent of crippling myself. I don't want to cripple myself. I just want to kind of, in this case, take a step back, I think. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Well, I don't think there's going to be one answer, unfortunately, because these builds and the units. Chris, when he emailed us, he was mentioning not just a particular caster, but he's talking about casters, units, builds, all three of those things.
Right.
And, you know, that's a huge, wide array of things to deal with.
Okay,
and
well,
so there's not going to be a panacea for it, unfortunately.
We're going to talk about Kruger eventually. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What if you like playing Kruger and World Wardens because you like lightning, but people don't like playing against it? What do you do?
Not take the Bone Grinders.
That would be a start.
That's a start, sure.
If you like the lightning so much, are you shooting with Kruger's weapon? It means you have to get up a little bit more.
Yeah. Could. I mean, in that case, you're kind of going back towards, are you purposely gimping yourself? I guess that's another thing. Personally, or purposely gimping yourself is a arbitrary term as well.
Yeah, well,
I mean, we're not dealing in definites. That's part of the problem.
Right. Mm. Well, Kruger's range weapon is pretty awesome.
Yeah, and you have to get closer to use it. But yeah. And he still has the chance to have his spells up. He's still going to have his high defense. Sure. He's still going to have all the other things going. It's not that bad of a gimp to try and play Kruger more up front.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you play him back in the back that he's safe, that, at least from my perspective as a troll player and some other factions, that's what gets on my nerves, because you have to go through everything to get to him.
Zap.
Brannigan. So last time you were on, James, we did not get to talk about your Kruger list.
It is and it isn't my list. It's more of a list that I've had to face a lot, or similar lists.
You're net decking?
Pretty much.
Okay, fair enough.
I can play most everything. I don't actually have the wolves that are in the list, but I can cover almost everything else that's here. What you've got in the list is Kruger the Stormwrath, two Wold Wardens, a Wold Weird, Black Clad Wayfarer, a Lord of the Feast, Shifting Stones, Tharn Blood Trackers at 9, Wolves of Ouroboros at 9, Feral Bone Grinders at 5, Gatorman Posse at 5, and the Swamp Gobber Bellows Crew.
No unit attachments?
No unit attachments.
Okay.
Realistically, you might want to drop the Lord of Feast to add the unit attachments of the wolves. It does help them out quite a bit. But again, I'm trying to throw in little tricks and traps that I've seen that have caught me off guard. So things I wanted to be able to mention to look out for if you're playing against this list.
Number one, look out for a skilled opponent.
Yes. Skilled opponents with this list are just, they're going to be really hard to get through. Exceedingly hard. You've got Kruger with the two Wold Wardens, which is always hard because each of those Wold Wardens can throw out two of the lightning strikes. that just chews through infantry. You've got the bone grinders there to help craft the talisman for him, giving Kruger plus 3 inches to that spell, which then translates into the Wool Wardens getting the plus 3 inches. So they can be at the edge of Kruger's control area, throwing 13-inch spell strikes, and it can really chew through a lot of things. The next thing, you've got something I've gotten caught on a few times, but it's harder to pull off, is using the Lord of the Feast as a first turn smack something in your opponent's army. You do the triangle with the shifting stones with the Lord of the Feast in the center of them, advance deployed as far as possible. You teleport him right off the bat so that he's way up in the opponent's side. Then he throws his crow, hits a unit, and then teleports into it, and then either wails on a beast, a unit leader, a critical solo for your force, or force a command check because he causes terror. If you're not expecting it right off the bat, it can catch you unawares. And again, it caught me at least once, maybe twice, before I... You can counteract it just by your unit placement if you're careful. As far as you've got the Woldweird still in there, he's playing near Kruger to make sure that if you manage to get through his entire army, he's sitting there to make all of the spells coming from a warlock cost double. That really can kill a lot of the Horde's warlocks. You've also got two units in here that have reach initially. Kruger's going to be casting the lightning tendrils on them right off the bat, either on the gators to give them 2.5 or the 4-inch reach weapon and the 2.5-inch bite and tail slap. Or you cast it on the wolves, who can spread out even further with the 4-inch reach and really just cover an entire area of the board, so it's hard to get through things without getting free struck, without getting engaged so that you can't shoot at someone, throw your spears, any of that kind of thing. And then blood trackers are always evil. Again, on that first turn, if your opponent sets up wrong, they can feasibly take down a light beast if that's their prey. They take off right off the bat, charging with the ambuscade order, well, not really charging, but moving at the plus 3 directly towards them, and they're throwing their spears with the boosted dice, with the pluses to hit, and if it's a medium-based model, they can basically stack up themselves, one right behind the other as they're moving towards it, and still have range. Again, if you know to expect it, you can counteract it, but it's something that if you don't play circle often, if you don't play this kind of a list often, it's going to catch a lot of players off guard. And it's never good to lose a light beast right off the bat, or it can really hurt a heavy, or a key solo, or even if you wind up on before your first turn's even gone, one of your units fails a command check, that means they're off the board, unless you've got them packed in with stuff behind them. So it has a lot of potential to do dirty tricks right off the bat. That's most of what you're expecting to see. You've got Kruger also sitting near the back of his army. He's keeping Windstorm going. Then the gobbers throw the cloud either on him or in front of him after he does that spell, because it gets rid of cloud effects. So he's sitting up there with super defense, either in or behind a cloud, preferably if you can get it either in a forest or on a hill. He's hard to hit with range. He's hard to get to with melee. He's extremely difficult to deal with. That's the list I brought.
I'm surprised the Lord of the Feast is in there, really. He's such a gamble.
He is a gamble, and realistically, you're probably better off pulling him out and helping out the wolves with the unit attachment. Mm-hmm. But again, it's something I've seen and I've gotten caught with. Right. It was something I wanted to include in this list. Mm-hmm. More of a generic, these are tricks you can do with Kruger list.
Right. So from a non-Hordes player perspective, what exactly do you mean by he's such a gamble, Josh?
He's slow to begin with. The speed is 5, I think, maybe 4. I think it's 5. The trick that he does is he has a raven, and the raven flies out from him. It's a ranged attack. Uh-huh. If he hits with this ranged attack, you can move him into base-to-base with the thing that he hit, and then he can go ahead and take swings with his weapon after that. He's got high armor.
Now, normally, a model can't make both range and melee attacks, but he has a special rule that says he can.
He is an exception. The thing is, his rat is really low. He has a rat of 4. And when you teleport him with the stones, like James was saying, he cannot sack his movement to get the aiming bonus. So he's got to roll with a 4. If there's nothing with a low defense on the front line, he's going to fail that roll most likely, and he's going to be out there to die. Now, he has stealth, so you can't CRA him from a distance or anything like that to kill him. But he's still stuck out there like a sore thumb, really.
Yeah, he's basically a...
But, you know, putting lightning tendrils on him way out there, is he's going to tie shit up first turn.
Well, unless, I mean, because at that point he's not going to be very far up. He's right in charge range, for example, for something to go up there and kill him. That lets the opponent get their guys up anyway, and then you just lost a model. Now, that's not going to be true for every opponent, but sticking him out there like that is just asking for him to die, I think.
But it's also, you won't stick him out there unless there's that target with the low defense already.
True.
And you're right. It's not that great, but there's a chance. It's a trick you can pull, mm-hmm. and it gets him out there. It's only 33 points when you're talking about a 750-point list. If you pull it off and you manage to scare off a unit, you manage to kill that key solo, you manage to force them to keep someone back there to deal with him rather than mm-hmm. moving up to deal with your army,
right.
He's a very good distraction, if nothing else.
For me, that's just too many ifs, but that's just me.
Actually, I agree with what you just said there, James. It can be good as a distraction in and of itself, because it can change your opponent's strategy. I mean, they'll come to the table thinking, while you're going, even like, okay, well, I think this is what I'm going to do. But then if you all of a sudden you throw that one model out there right up on their front line, or, you know, right out in their face in the first place, they immediately are going to probably have to be rethinking their strategy. Maybe not. Now, maybe they'll just say, I'm going to ignore it because I'm going to keep going with it. And oftentimes, maybe that would be the best thing to do. But I think a lot of people, myself included, will be going, oh, crap, I've got to take care of this guy because, you know, maybe he missed now, but if I leave him alive, maybe he's really good in melee, or maybe he's really going to tear something up next time, so I'm going to devote some of my force to dealing with him immediately. So.
And that's the thing. He is good in melee. That's where he actually shines at. He's got Flying Steel, I believe.
He has Flying Steel. I think Pop 13, Pop Strength 13.
Yeah.
So he can tear
like you said,
though.
For 33 points, if it can change your opponent's strategy right off the bat, maybe that is a good expense.
When I build circle lists, those 33 points mean a lot to me, so I rarely put them in there. I usually need those 33 points for something else.
I think you're right. There are certain times, but trying to get all those potential tricks into one list is what I was trying to do.
Yeah, I guess we should be taking this from the assumption that your opponent has it on the table. So don't worry about how they got into the list. It's there.
And that's also another thing you can do with the Black Cloud Wafer that's in the list. If you move him up to the stones, teleporting behind your opponent's army, yeah, he can't do anything right then, but you put him in a position to where they either have to deal with him then, or he's going to mess something up next turn. Mm-hmm. Something has to turn around and deal with him.
And yeah, he has a spray and a decent rat, if I remember right. Mm-hmm. So he's actually, in some cases, a little bit more of a threat than the Lord of the Feast can be.
Okay. So this is a little bit of how the list gets played, usually.
Yeah.
I think we should approach this list a little bit differently this time. In the past, you know, we've kind of just talked about what we should do against it. You know, since this is one of the more competitive lists, I think we should, I think up front we should try and identify some of the weaknesses for us to then talk about when we play against it.
That would be helpful for
and
me
like,
because
yeah.
I've never seen this list.
Like, the generalities of the list of how the list plays. Like, for myself, you know, looking at the threats of this list, you have Kruger in melee for an assassination, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Early game, though, it's not going to be as big of a deal.
Right.
You've got the long reach on models, keeping you from using shooty if that's your route.
Mm-hmm.
4-inch reach plus a 12-inch run on the wolves is 16 inches of space they can cover and deny shooting.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. You've got the early ambuscades,
mm-hmm.
Which can mess up your early plans if they get them off. If, I'm not sure of the exact speed off the top of my head, if the Tharn blood trackers are full AD'd and they ambuscade, how far from your lines are they?
Their speed is 7, and they'll move 10 on the ambuscade if they move straight forward.
Right.
So they'll be 6 inches away, I think.
Okay, so they are 6 inches from your front line.
And they throw 7 inches into your lines.
Right.
Or so, 1 inch total.
So if you have something back an inch and a half from your line, they can't do anything
right.
The first turn.
Right.
But again, you're losing that inch and a half.
Sure. And then the final one, the big threat, is the lightning.
Right.
Now, I didn't include the gators. I mean, they are a threat on their own, especially if something can get wounded. But that's kind of a subset of the long reach.
Exactly.
So and they're a little bit slower, so they're going to be a second wave anyway.
I think that those
usually
are...
Usually they'd follow the wolves.
I think those are the three threats you have to really deal with and be able to deal with all of them at once.
Well, sure.
Okay.
They're the fast things in the army. They're the things that are going to be right up there.
Yeah.
And that's other than the lightning that's going to be thrown.
Mm. And one of the things about forked lightning is that because it basically chain lightning, it hits additional targets. Playing against it, you have to watch your positioning the entire game in most cases. And I'll get to that in a second.
Well, it'll only bounce to your models as the opponent. So mm-hmm. Kruger doesn't have to worry about it frying his own guys.
Right.
Yeah, but you know, he uses his targets, which is
absolutely.
Another thing you have to watch
yes.
for. especially those wardens. He can bounce off his wardens and not care.
Or if they can get a stone up there.
Exactly, that's what I was about to say. Yeah. Those shifting stones teleporting up into your force, those make perfect targets.
They're never in melee, they're defense 5 always.
Yep. So you have to watch your spacing for lightning strikes. That's a big one. However, you can try to sucker the circle player. You could put a tempting target near or on the front line to try and sucker that ambuscade to control where the blood trackers are going first turn. Mm-hmm. Trading points for controlling the tabletop. Depends on what you have and what's in your army as to whether or not that's a viable option. Because if you do that, you need to be able to deal with the blood trackers one way or another on your next turn.
Right. It is very tricky because there's no reason why I have to ambuscade with all the blood trackers. So I can ambuscade with some of them and pull the other ones back and let you wipe out half the unit, or you know, less than half if I really want them to stay on the board. And then that would give me another ambuscade the next turn.
Right. The biggest problem with that, though, is they do have such a low command, and Kruger doesn't help it very much.
Yeah, you can get the Black Lead up there. Yeah. He's a 9.
That's true.
But, like, I've given away Vilmon to deal with the Blood Trackers. He's a really good 39 points, but that got the unit off the table.
Yeah.
And that's a fair trade, because 39 points for the cost of the unit, that's... I could see doing that.
I think 10 Blood Trackers is 96 points. It's in the mid-90s.
Yeah.
I know 9's 87, so yeah. Mm-hmm.
But again, that's a really tricky matchup you have to do depending on what you bring.
Yeah.
The infantry, with the exception of the Gatorman, AoEs will rock them.
Yes. But then the problem is they've got that 4-inch reach thing going on to try and tie up.
Right.
They're
going
to be trying to tie up anything that can throw an AoE as fast as possible.
That's why you do it early.
Yeah. The Blood Trackers and the Wolves, neither one need to be next to each other. In fact, spreading them out is usually to their benefit. So
right.
AoEs, you're lucky if you're going to clip a couple of them at once. Mm. So...
But the key there is to clip the right
area
to break
the line. If you've got large AoEs with mortars or whatnot.
Or even if you can break the line, break formation.
Or if you've got like a Castigator or the Deathjack, which can do their... Or the Kodiak with their basically their Vent Steam Necromant abilities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, auto damage.
Those are always useful.
Sure.
Blightbringer like you like so much.
Absolutely. Hoarfrost, not so much because you still have to hit. But
right.
Vale is a Fury of 9. But yeah, those types of abilities.
She's an 8, isn't she?
Sorry, she's an 8. Did I say 9? My bad. Also, you know, well, anything that ignores defense for those models.
Right.
If you just say, because that applies to anything. Although it doesn't help with the infantry, anti-spell stuff.
Yes.
It'll help with the Black Clad when he's behind you.
Yeah, I think so.
I think so.
Now, if you put anti-spell on something, lightning can still bounce to it off of one of Kruger's own guys.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you can't stop the lightning completely unless you've killed everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But... You know, you can make things untargetable or prevent spell casting at all with certain models.
Right.
Which will make the Kruger player's job a little bit more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
the spell strike is still a spell.
Right. And you're not going to stop it, but if he makes it more difficult, you're buying yourself, you know, a little bit more of an advantage as you go.
Right.
So, I mean, those were some of the things that I thought of while you were reading your list.
Gotcha.
You guys have anything else to mention in general, especially you circle players who would play this list? What would suck to see coming at you?
Those Wold Wardens aren't. And they have a lot of hitboxes. They have decently high armor, 18. But as a Kruger player, I've taken down pairs of Wold Wardens easily in one turn. Now, granted, I had something hard-hitting like a Bane Knight or Bane Thrall with Tartars. Dropping its armor by even just 2 points is a real knock against it.
Right.
So, and again, you have to take out every box to take it out, but if you really want to, it's not hard to take out 2 Wold Wardens in one turn.
If you get rid of that spirit, they're not boosting those lightning strikes.
That too, yeah, because Kruger isn't going to be healing them. The
right.
only way in this list to remove damage from a Wold Warden is by using Restoration from the Shifting Stones.
Right.
And they have to be within an inch of a stone, I think, to do that, and that's not going to be happening, probably.
Not easily. Not unless you're going for that because you have to get it
right,
done.
Right. And even then, you can only restore that damage if...
The stone started there.
Well, that too. I was going to say, if the Wold Warden's not on the table, well, it's too late.
Yeah.
So you have to survive that turn first. But yeah, the Wold Warden's, if they're going to be up front, which they may not be if they're standing back and shooting lightning, but if they're going to be up front, say, slugging it out with 2.5-inch reach from lightning tendrils, then you have to take care not to get them in the face of something that can destroy them easily, like a unit of Bane Knights under Scar's feet, for example, or something.
Or, I mean, Zealot Bombs. Any weapon master,
yeah.
A jack or heavy could wreck its day.
Yep.
You can throw or slam them if you can get through undergrowth.
Right.
The problem is, though, that they can just stand up and still lightning strike at 13 inches if the bone grinders have already gone.
Exactly. Right.
That's another thing, if you can get the bone grinders.
Yeah, getting some AoEs over there, get rid of the bone grinders. Now, one thing you need to remember, though, if Kruger's got his Windstorm spell going, all your range is going to be at a little bit weaker strength because it does drop that.
But the defense and the bone grinders and the blood trackers are so low that...
Well, blood trackers are 14, the bone grinders are 12.
Oh, I thought they were like 11 or 12.
Their armor 11.
That's what I said. Did I say defense?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I meant armor.
Well, I mean, even the bone grinders are 14. Under Windstorm, they're 16 versus your ranged. Even so, they're going to be hiding behind that cloud and Kruger and all that, so you're going to have to either sneak something back there, a pistol wraith or something, or you're going to have a good deviation. But even then, that lead bone grinder is going to be the last one to go down.
Right.
Because he's going to be sacking his friends.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. Sure, I'm saying it's another thing you can get on them if it's available.
Yep.
It's like a lot of people around here treat the choir of Minoth.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It takes a lot to get to them.
Yep,
but if they're really there, you take them out. Anything else other that you guys would hate coming? I mean, yeah, losing the Wold Wardens would be bad, but you still got a lot of infantry there.
Lots of strong ranged wouldn't be good. I mean, the Blood Trackers have stealth, but, you know, if you can wipe them out, the Wolves will die to a hand cannon shot or two. They'll die from a Pow 10 rifle shot.
Even with Kruger's spell?
They're only at 15 armor at that point, effectively.
And realistically, the Wolves are probably playing further out from Kruger. They're not going to be underneath the spell all the time. As far as blocking the charge lanes to the Wold Wardens, that's one of the things the Shifting Stones can be good for, too. Mm-hmm. They start getting in there, getting in the way to keep you... You've got the Wolves in front of them, purposely setting up their front arcs, so that to get to them, you're going to have to take a free strike from that 4-inch breach weapon. So all those things can be used by the circle player to help protect them. Yeah, your Wold's going down. Obviously, Kruger, the Bone Grinders, that's the core of the list. But there's a lot of different things in this list that can help it, that can go after certain things, that work by themselves almost as well as with his accompaniment.
If I were running this list, one thing I might be a little bit concerned about, not overly concerned, but anti-upkeep things, Epic Eris, Edmonia from the Wither Shadow Combine, and so on. Because if I have Lightning Tendrils out there, Kruger doesn't need to take that D3.
No.
He needs all of his health. So, and then losing that could change what I'm going to do next turn, for example. So,
Mirror Magic from Saren.
Saren, yeah.
That, you don't want Legion having a lot of reach or, God forbid, a 4-inch reach.
Angelius needs a 4-inch reach. It must be done.
And to a more limited extent, the claiming from Gorshade. Right. I would be putting your Lightning Tendrils on another one of your models, but if I can put it on Shifting Stone or something. If that's legal, I'm not sure.
I don't see why it wouldn't be. Lightning Tendrils doesn't say it has to have a melee weapon to do it.
But if I can put it on something that's, you know, already gone or whatever.
Right.
I'll move it to the Bone Grinders.
If I can see them, yeah. Actually, no, I don't have to have line of sight. You just have to be in my control area, I think.
Again, you can get around a lot of the circle stuff by just not deploying everything as far up as you can deploy. Mm-hmm. Just moving things back a half inch or an inch and a
actually,
half.
Actually, that's pretty much I always do that. I almost never fully advanced deploy things.
The first time you get smacked, the first time you get smacked by a circle player, you learn that. If you're playing against them, see those models over there, you just...
And I've been smacked by other things by doing that, just so I've learned don't fully advance deploy. It's just you're gonna
one dirty trick I found to do against circle players is because I always advance. I always set up my deployment by putting the dice up in that line.
Don't put them all the way up.
I mark my dice back a little bit further, and then put everything in the line behind it. And I scoot the dice up. And if they don't pay attention to how far up it is. Oh, I ambuscade this. We go for it. They're right there. Oh, you missed. No, you were on the line.
No,
yeah, but my line wasn't 10 inches. Look.
Well, I'd like to hear, starting out the specific list, how Santa Claus plays his cricks.
Well, Dave, don't you see?
Santa sounds like an old man.
He is an old man.
I'm 3 million years old.
I saw. Santa, how do you, speaking of Santa Claus, I saw Santa Claus.
Santa Claus conquers the Martians.
Santa Claus conquers the Martians. And you did a very good job. It was great, and it was the new iteration of Mr. Science Theater 3000. I forget the name. Cinematic Titanic. I saw it when it came to St. Louis here in St. Charles.
Remember you out there.
And they did Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
I have a question, Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
How do you respond to the engineering proof that says that if you could actually visit every house inside of one night, you would actually be consumed by a ball of flame due to the friction that have caused you flying through the air?
He uses lots of lube.
On Christmas Eve, I scamper down the chimneys of the engineers who say that, and I take a dump in their stockings.
Okay.
He has to take bathroom breaks sometime.
You know, that's a good point.
And the reindeer do too, James. But yes, what would I do against Kruger?
Do you need to go get Josh for this one so he can answer the question?
I'll be right back. Who's that fat guy?
That's Pat.
Oh. I don't know, he didn't have pants on.
Yeah, that was weird.
They're optional here,
remember?
Oh, that's right, pants are optional. So what are we talking about?
We're talking about No Pants Thursday.
It's a good thing it's Sunday.
Not when this drops.
Crap.
So, Crix. Josh, we were wondering how you played your Crix.
Run an Arc Node up into that cloud that's screening Kruger. Try to knock him down. If I have a spell that can do so. Otherwise, you,
So, in other words, you're playing Denegra.
Playing, or the Coven.
The Coven knocks down?
No, but they don't need the knockdown to hit Kruger.
Oh, okay.
And then you spell him to death.
Or shoot him, like, Pistol Wraith, that kind of stuff.
Pistol Wraith, you know, never hurts.
The thing with Wraith, though, is, I mean, he's got so many spells, it's going to be tough.
True. But, I mean, those guys can afford to run on the outskirts of the table. And if you give them other things to shoot at, hopefully the Pistol Wraith will make it okay. So I can sneak those behind him, hopefully. All I need is a sliver of his base to hit him, because they have crack shot.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't benefit from screening. And especially if I can get the back shot, then that's, you know, that's a bonus. And they'll shoot him from the back, because his armor's not going to be buffed. So
if he has a spell up.
Oh, true. I'm sorry, you're right. He'll be 14 or 16. I can't remember what his armor is. But
we mentioned shots of opportunity. Two Pistol Wraiths can take care of the Bone Grinders if they can't get to Kruger.
Possible. Well, he has 5 Bone Grinders.
Oh, you have 5. Sorry,
so they're closer. Close enough. Which is actually kind of weird in this list. If I were making it, I probably would have just the min unit.
I actually didn't buy more than 4.
I only have a minimum unit, too. But anyway. Yeah,
I'm insane. And
do you have Figmentia?
A little bit.
Pistol Wraiths. Unfortunately, if the Wardens are standing back throwing lightning, Chain Attack Death Shield isn't necessarily going to do much.
No, not at all.
So yeah, I would just use the Pistol Wraith to try to take out something important. Probably just lay on damage to Kruger if I can.
Denegra's Feat, which prevents special attacks, would at least prevent 2 lightning sources.
That's right.
It's true.
And I don't see any other special attacks.
It would also prevent the Ambuscades. Because you can't run, you can't charge.
It won't actually work on Ambuscade. Ambuscade doesn't require you to be able to charge to do it. So they would be moving...
Oh, it doesn't. I thought it did.
It would move them 2 inches shorter.
Terminus's Feet prevents horrors.
Terminus's Feet would actually, Terminus would work pretty well against this army. There's lots of living things with yummy souls.
He's a big target, though.
He is a big target, and you have lots of range. Well, at least with the Blood Trackers, for example.
You gotta get rid of the Blood Trackers, because they ambuscade him, and he's prayed. That's gonna hurt.
He'll be... On turn 1, he'll be in armor 24, so he's not gonna care. But subsequent turns, he might care pretty much. Take out those wolves and the Blood Trackers with his sword to eat them up. Well, the Gatorman aren't going to be as big a concern because they're Blood Frenzy, is that what it's called?
It has to be a living model.
Yeah, it has to be a living model, and I won't have too many living models with wounds in my Crix army. So Terminus would work well as well. He'll be able to make it up the field pretty fast. I would love to get Terminus up to a Wold Warden, just so I can throw it. Throw it out of my way. You can hit me with a couple boosted Pow-12s if you want, but you better kill me, otherwise...
I'll throw it over Kruger and beat him with that sword.
If I can get him up there, yeah, absolutely. Of course, if I'm throwing it over Kruger, then he's not going to be knocked down when I get to him, because you'll have a turn before I get to you again.
Well, it depends how close he is.
I suppose.
If he's doing the Kruger and Wold's little tower of power central thing.
I was always, in my mind, have the Wardens in front of the cloud, so they would probably be a good 3 or 4 inches up from Kruger. But anyway, you know, knocking, even just throwing on top of Kruger would still do damage to Kruger.
Sure.
It's that Warden back there. Maybe kill a couple Bone Runners.
You know what? You throw on top of Kruger. You're no longer engaged. Maybe throw a breath weapon out there. You might be able to clip him.
Thing about Terminus is, after he finishes melee attacks, after you decide you're done, you can still be engaging somebody in spray.
Oh, just not engaged.
Can't
be engaged.
Right, so you can be in melee, technically.
It's just
that. But if he has the lightning tendrils on it, it might be difficult to get to that point. But if he's not in melee, he can still spray. Yep. If you're not in melee, you go ahead and spray.
Thanks, Johnny Mnemonic.
Engaging's okay, engaged is not.
Correct. What about someone like Epic Asphyxius and bringing back Soul Hunters to get back there?
If he has that cloud blocking line of sight, that poses a problem because you don't ignore the cloud. But, you know, you can always use the, let's say you run up your Bane Knights, if he has those, to damage the Wold Wardens. If that doesn't do the trick, maybe you can bring them back to finish the job.
That's true. I mean, if you kill the Wold Wardens, that's a big chunk of points. And
it
you're,
is.
You're probably cutting in third the amount of lightning you're going to come your way.
Probably. A Wold Warden's 116 points, so 2 of them is at 232 points. That's a third of a 750-point army.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a big chunk.
Yeah.
Anything else? Anything specific that you have to do defensively?
I was actually thinking of taking quite a bit of stealth stuff with this, if only to hide from the lightning as much as I can, and from the blood trackers. Like we were talking about, the wool wardens can hit something other than your models. You know, they can put a stone up there. In that case, stealth won't do anything for you. But if the only targets the Kruger player has are your models, if they're all stealthed, then you might be screwed.
You know, we talk about
lightning wise.
We talk about luring people out. If you can lure him to use the shifting stones to get up there to be targets, you can then kill him.
Right.
Sure.
Now, in a steamroller game where you only have a couple turns, this gets exceedingly more difficult because you don't have the time to work through his army.
Mm-hmm.
But
speaking of a couple of turns, we also have the problem of you've got Kruger's feet that last three turns.
That's absolutely right. Yeah,
and you've got those clouds that if they're placed right,
keep in mind they're not real clouds.
They're AOEs, but if you charge through them, you still take the damage roll.
True, that's correct. We haven't mentioned his feet at all. And if I'm taking an infantry heavy army to take out this infantry army, I might be on the losing side there.
You have to have something strong enough to survive going through those, because if the Kruger player is being smart, he's getting rid of some models, and then he's moving those AOEs to start blocking charge lines.
Yeah. Or deliberately just wiping out units, because even a Bane Knight will die in average rolls from one of those.
Yep. Anything else, Josh, for Kricks?
I'd like to try a couple Stalkers against this list. See if I can get back to Kruger, because the Cloud won't do anything if I can advance and then leap. Mm-hmm. I definitely have to boost a hit because his defense is going to be high, but that'd be kind of funny. Now, that's not optimal because the Stalkers won't get their power tokens. They're 16 defense by themselves, so they're not that easy to hit.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of funny. I'd like to see what that does.
Rakes?
Rakes, sure.
I almost killed a Kruger with a rake.
Did you really?
Against you.
Oh, yeah, that was that game. That was during the Summer Rampage.
Yep. Almost got him.
That was pretty funny. It was funny. So, yeah, those are a couple ideas. Not necessarily the most tactically impressive ones, but some fun things in there, some things that might work.
Okay. Pat, what do you got?
Well, I've been thinking about this, and again, like I mentioned up front, I've actually never played against this list, obviously, or even much against Hordes, but thinking about it, my biggest concern is the whole lightning tendrils issue, being that, you know, Signar is primarily a ranged army. Maybe not primarily, but a big part of it is ranged. You know, getting around that, being engaged and cutting off my ranged capability is something that I was thinking of, and with that in mind, I would want to try to include all the opportunities that I have to turn my ranged shots into magic shots. And I'm going to go ahead and preface that by saying I know that this stuff is on the list right now. So if it is deemed that that is not legal, then obviously this wouldn't work. But now that it's just on the list, it's still playable. I mean, you know, go with what you got. Models like Ion and Holt would be good. Captain Strangeways would be good because he can turn something into turn one of his jacks attacks into magic. Epic Kane would also be good. He could throw True Shot on himself, and so that even, you know, at this point, if he's engaged, he could still get the shots off as magic.
I can see that being really useful with the hunters because the Windstorm only affects range attacks, doesn't it? As far as
it
dropping
does.
Their pal. So you turn the hunter's shots into magic attacks, shooting at the wall wardens, that's gonna hurt.
Yeah.
The sooner you can get those things down, the better.
Yeah. So, yeah, you could have...
You go first.
Mm-hmm. Now, another thing that I would do... Well, let me finish out, because I've mentioned in Strangeways. I would pair Strangeways up with either the Thunderhead. I think he works really well with a Thunderhead, because turning a Thunderhead's mojo into magic would be quite nice.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like you said, on a Hunter would be a good... would probably be good as well. But maybe... between the two, I probably would probably stick him with the Thunderhead. Another thing to consider would be using trenchers, and I think the trenchers would be twofold. Obviously, I could throw smoke that's going to help shield me in the first place.
You got to be careful, though. His windstorm gets rid of any smoke clouds.
What's the range on that? Is it his control area?
It's control area.
And what is his control?
It's 14 inches.
14? Yes. Oh, okay, so that's a big thing. Well, maybe, say, first turn, it might help me from some, you know, craziness you might pull on the first round. But beyond that, I would probably try using, like, you know, the bayonet charge to at least be able to charge and get off a shot, even if you do have the lightning tendrils up. So at least they get something off there, and they could get up there, and whoever survives can be tying up some things as well. Beyond that, as far as melee punch, because you want to, you know, I'm not going to put all my eggs in one basket. I don't want to completely think about range. You got to have some melee. Mm-hmm. I like the Storm Lances. You know, that's a good heavy cav. It's, you know, it's you can... Arcane Shield them, so they're up to armor 20, so they're more survivable. And they can get in there, and they can try to get around back and do some damage.
Well, those guys would be great for clearing out some infantry. I mean, you have the Electric Field Order. Yeah. Power 10s will wipe out any infantry I have on here except the the Gatorman.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're armored 20, the lightning's going to hit you all day long. They're not going to be... That's going to take them several rounds to kill a...
Yeah,
a,
yeah it's just...
So I really like those guys. I also... Right. I'm a big fan of the Storm Guard as well, because I think they're a great unit. They're just a little bit slow. So the problem with them is they're going to be... You know, second wave, like we talked about, because they just don't have this. They don't have as much speed.
But keep in mind, they're going to kill two guys for every one that you kill.
Most likely, they're hopefully gonna they're going to be able to kill two for one. So.
Even if they have to go against something like Blood Trackers, where they have to CMA to hit.
Yeah.
Two of them hit a guy. Lightning bounces. Two guys still kill two guys, basically.
Yeah. Right.
Well, a regular Storm Guard trooper, non-leader, is a 7. Matt, Blood Trackers only 14 defense. If you feel lucky, you won't even need two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You feel lucky, Punk.
Not always. Usually not.
Yeah, me too.
I tend to be overly cautious on that kind of thing.
Make your own luck, do you, James?
Yeah.
Now, I guess that really sort of leaves me to my really overall pick for a Warcaster, and I'm just going to say a couple. I think, like I said, I had already mentioned Epic Kane would be good. I also think Haley would be good, just because she could use Temporal Barrier to lower defense, and that would be good accompanied with the Thunderhead, because then the Thunderhead could actually hit a bunch of the crap with its Purge.
Assuming it can do it in melee, but yes.
Right.
Well, it may not even need to.
It may not. But yeah, I could see that wrecking a lot of wolves. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would
and
be
the cool. The bonus there is that this army is going to be in your face.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. You're not going to have to worry about, oh, I hope they're within Haley's control area for Temporal Barrier to kick off. It's going to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're moving this army up. You're trying to engage. You're trying to get them up there in your opponent's face.
And I guess, I was sort of forgetting to mention the fact that, you know, the Squire is going to be in this list because, like we said before, it's an auto include in any Signar army now. So that actually increases her Temporal Barrier range to 16 inches mm-hmm. as opposed to 14, so that makes a difference as well.
She's also got
She's also right with her spear, the Vortex spear. She can, you know, save some focus to disregard some of those magic attacks that you're going to have against me.
We'll keep the important things around her, 3 inches away from her. Nope, sorry, your lightning doesn't go off.
Right. Yeah, so that Kray might be good in this as well, just because he could, assuming we could make some of these things range magic, like Kray with the Thunderhead. Would also be a combination to get around that low rat on the Thunderhead if the magic attack thing works, because with his guided fire he could be rolling 3d6 to hit whatever's in the purge range. Mm-hmm. Within the pulse range.
And the important thing there is that guided fire gives you an extra die on ranged attack rolls. It doesn't specify what kind of attack it has to be.
And again, this is on the list. And I think Kray has a lot of that. There are a lot of things about Kray that when this list, you know, the things that are on the list get determined, I think it's going to make a big difference for Kray.
Yeah.
As it is right now, Kray's kind of, you know.
He's pretty cool.
A lot of things are to his advantage. Yeah. So we'll have to see how that turns out.
Even if that ruling goes against Signar, I mean, you've got, like, Stormguard can tie up the the Blood Trackers while you shoot away at the wolves and the gators.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to be quick about it so you can do it before lightning gets to you. But
And I think to finish off on the Signar thing, I think to bring light to the table, I think you've got to try. You've got to at least consider putting Epic Nemo out there. Lightning for lightning.
Duel of the lightning bolts.
The duel of the lightning bolts. And the other thing that he could do, you know, obviously Epic Nemo with a Thunderhead, he could stack, you know, up to 8 focus on Thunderhead on his feet turn.
Yeah.
And that could be really nasty. You know, if you could get in there so that you can do an assassination turn.
Or kill both wolves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That could be a good one, too.
Yeah, Epic Nemo with a couple of Centurions. Those Bold Wardens, they're going
to
be hurting.
Mm-hmm. Those are the things I'd sort of play with. And again, I'd want to play with all that kind of stuff to see what would work against this list, because I'm just not sure. But the main thing I'm going for there is to try to get as much out of the shooting as I can, possibly, and then have a good melee base to follow that up and to try to finish it out.
You mentioned Nemo and a couple of Centurions potentially. I think Darius, a couple of Centurions.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. With their shields, they don't care much about lightning either.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
If you can race them up there, send them in like those missiles, they're going to mess themselves up some molds.
And the Halfjacks actually might help take out some of this infantry.
Sure.
Or at least screw with their positioning.
Yeah, and meltdown.
If Kruger's actually going to be up in this list, he's going to be coming up with the board with it, then I don't have to worry about... what you have to worry about oftentimes with Darius is you've got to... he's got to get up there and get to the caster, and if they hang back, that's hard for him because he's not that fast. Neither is Jax. I mean, you know, the Centurions are speed 4, so they take a while to get there. But if we're all going to be going to the middle of the table, then yeah, Darius could be very good there as well.
Well, if I'm a Kruger player, I slag both your Centurions. What are you going to do?
I'm going to go ahead and feed, and I'm going to bring him back.
I was like, oh, well, I'll just bring him back to life.
All right, well, playing the Protectorate. I'm probably going to have to go heavy on the anti-spell stuff, at least for a little while. You don't have anything to actually remove spells, so if I can prevent them from targeting me, I'll be a little bit better. So stuff like the Zealots doing the Prayer of Warding, the Choir singing Warding, regular Sevi and his can't target me staff, or anybody in base-to-base with a Devout.
Mm-hmm.
That would work as well. Epic Sevi also has upkeep spell that gives someone +2 defense and protects them from, or keeps them from being targeted by spells, I should say. So that would kind of get a little bit in the way. I wouldn't mind putting that on some Idrians. I've done that before. And start wrecking some of the units. I mean, yeah, you can lighten off your own stuff, but that, you know, they're going to die anyway. But Intercept would at least be fun.
It would.
Now, your 4-inch reach, if you can get one guy up there, you know, I intercept after first model moves, but with 4-inch reach, it's going to probably, you know, catch a handful of Idrians and they're not going to go anywhere.
Right.
But I've got AoEs to use in the units, especially if I can go first. Redeemers, Deliverers if I bring them, Zealots. Heck, Cleansers wouldn't be bad.
Cleanser Bomb?
Or the Spray. I mean, the Spray's not horrid.
That's true.
But the Bomb, because it's auto damage and it's such a huge radius, yeah. Or I'd start running those past your models and saying, you want a free strike? You want a free strike? You want a free strike? So, you know, stuff like that to get around your defense would work.
Right.
Throwing those would be fun. Does a Thrown Cleanser count as a ranged weapon?
Nope.
All right, then. As far as infantry clearing, well, we've got fire for that.
Right.
We already mentioned AoEs, you know, stuff with Gepik Fiora throwing fire around. The TFG, but if they hit, they're going to kill. Mm-hmm. However, fire would work fairly well on the Gators.
Works on the Gators. You also got to remember a lot of this, especially...
And they cause terror.
Exactly.
Which, yeah, I don't have a whole lot that does it, but I have some stuff. Regular Fiora, that would be fun. Everything's on fire.
Kruger doesn't like fire.
And I'm going to make you spend your entire turn rolling fire checks, and it's my turn. Oh, you ran out of time, sorry. Yeah, you have to use your mulligan. I'm sorry, there was that much fire out there. But that would be pretty decent.
Well, you were talking about trying to get to the bone grinders earlier. What about taking some daughters, running them around the side, or even through the other army to get to them? That worth it?
Against a specific list,
probably
I can
not.
See it,
even killing the swamp gobblers would be good.
Maybe. The thing is, they can't waste their time going too far in the back. I mean, they do move fast, but and they have stealth. But if he puts anything near them, the bounce lightning on them, they're going to die.
True.
I mean, they're too low of armor.
They're so, 7 defense, right? Or 7 speed and 12, 14, I think.
So if they're going to do a job, they need to do it quickly.
Right.
So unit leaders of the wolves or the blood trackers, that would be a good use for them because they're going to be up in my face.
Sure.
But, I mean, yeah, if they can get far enough back and if they can suck a lightning or two so you're not throwing it at the rest of my army.
Right.
Sure, but I can't just waste them.
Careful. Yeah, I can see that. How much do they cost?
69. And they're Field Lounge 2.
Are they really?
Yeah. I only own one.
Most people only own one.
But with Epic Fiora, their speed is 9 first turn.
Right.
That's helpful.
That's not bad.
Plus, they're, you know, pipe them, so it's up to 11.
Yeah.
Charge, 12, 13, 14. Yeah. 12. So they charge 14 inches.
Epic Fiora gives them extra speed or movement.
Movement,
okay. I was thinking if they ran.
Yeah, no, it doesn't double. But, I mean, we're talking a 14-inch charge on the first turn.
Yeah.
If I go first, they can easily take out the Blood Tracker leader. Mm-hmm. And even if the rest of them run and just get in your face and engage stuff, that army that you wanted to be in my face is now stuck.
Right. You know, you've done the Blazing Aura on those guys, too.
Sure.
That would suck for this army as well.
I hate that.
I would love Kruger to throw some lightning through some Blazing Aura daughters. Love it. But, again, I mean, that's situational. A smart Kruger player is just going to deal with them other ways.
Sure.
I mean, a smart Kruger player will CMA them with wolves and lose one wolf for one daughter.
Right. And you only have 6. May only have to kill 3.
Right.
Unless they're fearless with Epic Fuel.
Yeah, they're not, but they get +1 command. But, you know, unfortunately, my jacks aren't fast enough to get to the wolves quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be a bit of a problem.
You say wolves or wolves?
Wolves.
Wolves.
The big stone, not stone. Well, stone and wood guys. Yeah. However, Infused, might be able to dead hit him with the Redeemer.
They're only 10.
If Kreas' spell isn't up. I mean, because but then again, I wouldn't be using that on the rest of the army. But it's an option. Recycling my Cav is never bad. Mm-hmm. And Soulstorm makes Tom into an infantry denial zone.
Now, the regular Hyperclaimer can't bring... Well, with the speed, he can bring guys back. But they both have Soulstorm, right?
Yes.
Right. So either form is going to be heavily well-protected against this infantry
horse. Well, you can still ambuscade him.
You could, sure.
Can you choose not to go your full distance with ambuscade?
Yes, you must move at least 3 inches, but that's the only restriction.
Okay.
Well, and you have to move straight toward the model.
Now, straight directly towards the center, not to the side?
It's directly toward the model, yeah. So you have to move center to center.
Okay.
It's like a slam.
I've seen people do that incorrectly quite often.
They should not be doing that.
But, that limits the number of people that can ambuscade a single target, assuming it's not larger than a small base.
Yeah, it's really hard to have multiple ambuscades against a small base model, because mm-hmm. you still have to have line of sight when you begin the ambuscade anyway.
Right.
So,
but what else do I have going on for me? I need to make myself really hard to kill. Because you're going to be throwing a lot of stuff out. My Cav, space them out so you can't lightning them. Mm-hmm. If you hit one, that's higher armor, thank you.
Yeah.
And now I can go across rough terrain, and I can get to your old ward.
Yeah, so that undergrowth? Oh, well. But either way, yeah, if they lightning one, oh, well. You may have just lost a ward.
Yeah.
Or damaged it heavily.
Yeah, and, you know, hope you get the spirit.
Right.
Solos, Vilmon is going to get lightning struck. Now, you impervious wall him and put Sevi's thing that says you can't be targeted by spells, and you're a little bit safer, but you can still be bounced too.
True.
But, you know, I mean, in that case, you're going to turn him into a charging weapon master beat stick. So, because he can't wreck a world in his own, but he can put the hurt on it.
Yeah,
quite a bit.
But yeah, I mean, my general strategy, it's going to be tough. I've got to keep my warcaster protected. So I've got to either keep things not targetable or outside of 3 inches of them so I can't get bounced too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unless I'm camping on a ton of focus. Like, Fiora with a bunch of focus is probably relatively safe to lightning. Which actually might not be a bad strategy. Run a super solo, either Fiora. I think either Kreas.
Yeah. Either of them's going to sit on if they
need
to.
The Tom, because stuff's going to die around them, and just don't cast spells. Bring a couple key things back, but keep the rest of it for armor. I mean, Tom can get up to armor 30.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. I've given that to you.
Now, the only thing, though, actually something that James had mentioned is the throw, the tornado.
That's
unfortunately,
true.
Kruger has to do it himself.
He does.
Mm-hmm.
But he can do it on, say, one of his world wardens if he has to.
Yeah.
And that large base will go sailing pretty much wherever he wants, at least in the direction he wants almost.
Over a bunch of stuff because it's a throw.
Stuff, yeah.
But right. Still.
Yeah, but if it lands square on something.
Yeah. James, what do you think? You play Protectorate.
Well, I've lost to this list several times with Protectorate. Tom's a good foil for it most times. I, on a feat turn against someone playing a very similar list, I took out all of his beast and most of his units in one turn, but I left myself too close to Kruger, and I'd spent my focus to get those models back, and he charged Tom because I just left enough of a gap, and dead.
He has if he casts the right spells, he has a 13-inch threat range on his charge,
mm-hmm.
so you have to stay that far away from him.
Or somehow protect yourself, which is not easy.
Right. Or if he's got a wall, he could potentially push Kruger an inch farther if he needs that extra inch to get to you.
He doesn't handle knockdown very well.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'd like Kreas. I mean, if I'm playing in an overly competitive tournament, Kreas is a fallback caster. So I might have him as one of my lists if I'm in, a top-tier event. And dropping stuff, even if it means you no longer have your 4-inch melee range, and I can move wherever I want.
That can be very useful in that situation.
Yep. That would be good, too. But, yeah, I think setting stuff on fire, knocking them down.
Epic Eris, getting rid of the spells and causing damage to Kruger was mentioned once before already.
I can see Kruger maybe trying to use his feet to kill Epic Eris, but if you can have him move one of those AoEs just to kill her, if she's done something, that might be worth it.
Yeah.
Bait him with a super solo or his AoEs, maybe.
Give him a target he can't resist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at least he's not going to make my Warjax frenzy.
Yep, that's one good thing about his feet. You know, we've been talking about War Machine here, and his feet can wipe out infantry just as well as Horde's infantry, but it's not going to really affect your jacks too much.
Nope.
Not going to disrupt them and nothing like that.
We don't have a Cador player.
None of the army likes stationary, so you've always got the Sorsha foil.
Mortars.
Mortars are
far
enough
in the
excellent.
Back.
Yep.
The Behemoth lobbing his two mortars or two over-the-shoulder guns.
And if he gets up to a wold, it's done.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Maybe even both of them.
But any army piercing, whether it's Hunters or the Behemoth, anything like that, literally, or Cankerworm.
Yeah. Mm.
Yep. Yep. Which also has stealth.
It also has stealth. Actually, good pairing for this list, yeah.
I think that Kador's the Kayazi, because they have parry with the underboss.
Yeah.
Especially if they get feed on Bethic Blad, get a couple of them on Kruger, and he's done.
Pretty much. Yeah.
I would have to think that the Doom Reavers would probably be a good thing to put in there, too, just because...
Abomination.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can get up there. They can yeah. What they don't kill, they'll scare away. I mean,
And
I've seen those used extremely effectively.
The times I played Circle, having to make those command checks for fear rolls really always made me nervous, because there's not a lot. I mean, you've got a few nines here and there, but they're spread out. Your average is an 8.
Right.
That's easy to mess up.
Actually, the Doom Reavers, if they're the only thing up front, and if Kruger doesn't want to hit his own stuff with lightning, well, he's not hitting the Doom Reavers with lightning either.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you're not targeting them with the spell.
That's true.
Right.
That'd be kind of funny.
Yeah, they're good. They're nasty.
The Old Witch could feed and tie a lot of the infantry in place.
Tie it all in place.
Sure.
The Lord of the Feast could probably move and survive. Other than that, everything else is going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or take a big enough hit from it that they wouldn't want to risk it.
Yeah.
Because that's the last thing you want, your World Warden taking damage like that for no good reason.
That's right. That's right. Anything with Zarkova with anti-magic stuff? How does that work? -2 for spells?
What are you talking about for...
Zarkova, if she's targeted with something that's like minus...
If she's targeted, it's -2 range. But she has a spell that says she is the only person that can cast spells on a given target. Oh, that's on the target of the spell.
Right. Yeah, something ward. Yeah.
Yeah, Banishing Ward.
Is it Banishing?
Yeah, that's it.
And her feet wouldn't be bad either.
Well, it'd slow them down. But.
Oh, right, right. But it prevents ambuscade. Can't charge with your wolves the turn you want to.
Same with Epic. His feet is, my guys stand up and have Eyeless Sight and Pathfinder, and your guys are -2. Suck.
Yep.
And he gives all the people...
That's how it's worded, too.
And they he gives the tough roll to all those Cotter models close enough to him also. Yeah.
It's true.
Well, now, that could be a detriment, though, because if lightning starts ripping through him and knocking half of him down, his army's going to get bogged down.
That's true.
But it still keeps him around a little bit longer.
Yeah. Trolls, as you know, James, fall into that trap all the time. Oh, my guy's alive, but then my other guys are dead.
I've occasionally left trolls alive. They're knocked down just to slow them down. If there's no buck all around.
Yep. Right.
Kador has the high armor. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, stuff like shield walling, Iron Fang Pikeman.
Yeah.
Or anything that, you know, improves armor to the point where lightning may or may not work.
Mm-hmm. It's tempting to say take a big heavy jack, you know, like a Devastator or something, but Kruger's going to say, I throw it back.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is true, but you're making Kruger spend 4 Fury.
It is 4, but he's probably going to be spending it anyway. If he's behind the cloud, he may not bother casting...
Skyborn.
Skyborn.
Yeah, if he's behind the cloud, he may not spend the Fury for Skyborn. He's probably pretty safe, so he may... casting a throw every turn at 13 inches, mind you, may not be that too much of a drain on him, mm-hmm. if he really needs to get that Devastator or whatever out of the way, or Behemoth, as we were talking about.
Well, if you do, then you've got a chance. You have a chance of getting in there and doing something to him
if
he doesn't see it coming.
Right, yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. It's a drain on resources.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks because that's a huge point sink, though.
It is, yeah.
But Beast 09, I think Beast 09 would work well, because you can do the auto boosted hit against all infantry.
Yeah, he'll clear this stuff up.
He can do Thresher. And the big thing he's got going for him is, I mean, he can suck that resources by making Kruger throw him.
Mm-hmm.
And if Kruger doesn't, he can make Kruger pay. Because he's a little bit faster in some regards, I think. So I'd take Epic Vlad.
That's the foil for everything, though, right?
Yeah, although, you know, honestly, Epic Irisk Mortar for effect.
Yeah, Fire for effect and a Mortar would be kind of funny.
Or Behemoth.
Especially Behemoth.
Only problem is you're giving up boosted attack rolls with Arcane Killer. Or damage rolls. But that'll depend on the situation, whether or not that even matters.
Right, right.
But yeah, I think that, Kador's got to stand up, take the hit, which they can do.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got to lay the smack down, which they can do.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking top tier list here.
Right.
So,
right,
okay. I mean, I've mentioned once, but Epic Vlad spreads his army out. Can't lightning all of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is the one big deal. Problem with this list is that it's got lots of infantry, but the infantry die. All of a sudden, you have a few really good eggs in one little basket.
Yeah.
And if you can take out those eggs, those wardens, then Kruger's in trouble.
Yep. And, you know, again, his feet, going to be a problem. Mm-hmm. Got to get around it.
Because you have to keep in mind the wardens are his damage sink, too. He's got the weird, but the wardens are really the only ones that are going to stand up to a lot of beating.
Right.
So
get some damage on him, make him transfer, and hope he takes out a spirit for you.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay, is that it for War Machine?
I think so.
Hordes. First Hordes faction book is the Trollbloods.
Well, with Trolls, it's a hard fight, because your typical Trollist doesn't have a lot of ranged attacks. You're to deal with trying to get there. You're trying to move upfield fast, keep your armor up with the shield, boosting it with Metamorphosis if you need to on the key models that you can't afford to die, and smashing face like Trolls are known to do. Redundancy on your Fellcaller is probably a good idea, but it's not something that I do a lot in my list anyway. So the redundancy on the Fellcaller is to make sure as you get things knocked down and you make your tough rolls that you can get your army back up and going. Grimm's always a good foil for that, with him, he himself hitting you with the spell to get you knocked down, but then you've got to worry about being too close to that Wold Weird. Once you get Kruger knocked down, you have a lot of good chances to try and get him, but you don't have a lot of ranged in there to get it. So it's a case of moving fast, hitting face, and just trying to cleave through him.
Mm-hmm.
Worka with his mosh pit up can be fun on occasion, but with the 4-inch reach on the wolves, it's not them engaging you. You have to be engaging them. So they can stay out of that and still not have to worry about getting pushed back.
His feet could be mean.
Yeah, his feet can be really mean, but usually the problem with that is this force is spread out so much it's hard to get in to hit the right targets. The right situation, yeah, his feet can be evil. If you get Grissel up far enough so that she can pop her feet and catch the Wolds and catch Kruger, no spells next turn. That's going to be a huge help.
Even just catching the Wolds would be good.
Yeah. So, mainly beat face, move fast. If you're playing for scenarios, the Trolls have the advantage where they can survive things. They can try and catch the Mosh Pit. They can try and catch those points. They can try and push you back over the line and survive it.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, Trolls are very just resilient. And that's the direction I would go.
Okay, I guess it's back to me again with the Legion. Well, let's see. I'll take Saren and Feet. Oh, wait, that's not going to work.
Yeah, not for a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Not for a lot of stuff. I can use it to send things through your 4-inch reach,
right,
but true. Other than that, yeah, not so much.
Well, we talked about how they're going to be spread out. Maybe there is that gap that you need to go through.
Blightbringer.
That'd be horrid against this.
Yes, that's always an evil spell, and against this, with all the light armor, that's just going to tear through things.
Because you can do it twice a turn?
Yeah, but that's all her fury almost. She's only got one left.
Yeah, if you can get rid of some key pieces, though, you could blow this army apart in one or two turns that way.
I'm going to bring my new Death Strider and a couple of units of Striders, and I'm going to try and go first.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try and waste a bunch of infantry.
Pop out some Incubi.
Pop out some Incubi, and we'll give you some Christmas presents. Yeah. Unwrapped in this, and inside, oh, Incubi! Merry Christmas!
And again, Incubi are scary, which is a foil for this list.
Right. Problem is the way Incubi interact with the feet. Because when the Incubi get placed on the table, they have entered the AoE, they immediately take damage.
Yep.
Same way that you can't Incubi your way around a free strike. Because the rules on free strike say the free strike is taken right before you leave melee range, mm-hmm. which means that the Incubi comes back in melee range.
Yep.
So, something to watch out for you Legion players out there. But talking about my Christmas presents, I'll bring my reindeer.
There you go.
I will space them way the hell out there so they can't be hit by more than, a lightning strike will only hit one or two.
Right. But you can do it so it only hit one.
Right, yeah. Right. But they are mean enough on the charge that they could, for example, take care of the gators.
True.
If they can get in there without taking free strike, well, never mind. Like Cav, of course they can get out taking free strikes.
Right.
They can take care of some of the infantry, too.
They are Pathfinders, no?
They are.
So the swamp from the gators or the undergrowth from the wolves, that's not going to slow you down too much?
No. Exactly. And because you don't have anything to raise your defense or your armor in melee, mm-hmm. I would love to use them on the Wold Wardens because they're going to hit. And it's a POW 12, a Weaponmaster POW 10, and a 4-die POW 10. And it's not great, but it's something.
Just has to be good enough.
Yep. And, of course, then they move around,
mm-hmm.
and you position them, like, behind the wardens or something like that,
right.
and make Kruger deal with them.
Well, we were talking about trying to get stuff behind in order to kill the squishy stuff. Well, the light cav, you can move, you could do something and then move again, so you get both in one basket. You get to move far down the field and still attack and do something useful on the way
right.
back.
That's true.
So, that's not bad at all.
Yeah. But, I like me some reindeer. They're nice. I would not put any upkeeps on them, because you don't want Arcane Killer to be doing them in.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You want to make someone have to deal with their higher defense.
Yeah.
And you know, their armor is right at that level where you can pray and attack won't fully kill them.
This wouldn't necessarily be the case for the Raptors, but, you know, Tenacity, the Animi, that the Arcane Killer won't be able to do anything against it.
Okay, so Cav aside, we mentioned Incubi. I think that the Iron Chef might have a chance. If Ryze can crit decap on a couple War Chiefs and they start bouncing, they bouncy, 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 and they go through your lines.
Yeah.
True. You know, they're high enough armor and life that your feat's not going to do a whole lot, especially if their armor's up in the 20s because they killed a bunch of stuff.
But that's when you get tornadoed, if you don't kill Kruger.
Okay, use Tornado on the War Chief so Ryze is still available.
Even if Kruger doesn't die, that means a lot of that damage just got transferred to a Warden.
Well, assuming you can get to him.
If you get,
I was assuming you couldn't, but you can still wipe out. I mean,
absolutely.
That's wipe out some infantry and get a good hit or two on the Wold.
Yeah.
That's going to hurt.
Yeah.
That's going to hurt a lot.
Yes, it will.
And
he doesn't really have a way to slow you down like, say, Denegar or somebody would.
No.
Yeah, he's gonna. That's going to be difficult for Kruger.
Yeah, I'm gonna come and abominations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, I'm gonna be coming up field quick. Speaking of abominations, I will in fact bring the Forsaken if I can. Blight Shroud will kill a lot of your infantry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Less than average rolls.
Yep. Yep. And they're also abominations.
Right.
I like stuff like Swordsmen. I wouldn't even. Well, I guess Legionnaires wouldn't do much because they don't have the reach. Unless I'm playing Saren and can mimic your 4-inch. Which would become a very tricky, interesting game.
Well, you'd probably get there pretty quickly. If you didn't, then that means you're
Assuming I'm playing Saren, but
right.
That would just be kind of funny to see the four inch reach wolves and the 4-inch reach legionaries just kind of slapping each other with their big long anime weapons. But you know, I like stuff like swordsmen, but your feet's gonna destroy them.
Yeah.
Archers, that pie plate is great against things like blood trackers. And it will do decent against the wolves as well.
Yeah. Unfortunately, not the Warden's unliving model.
Mm-mm.
And if that Cloud is positioned right, you may not be able to see back there to the super important stuff.
Well, you only have to see a part of the AoE to drop it.
That's true. Oh, yeah, just plop it right in the middle of the Cloud. All of a sudden, you can see it. Yeah, you're right. So you could hit Kruger with that pretty easily, actually.
Well, assuming the wolves themselves weren't blocking line of sight.
True.
But yes. Someone like... Lilith, I'm not sure how well she'd do. I mean, I could throw a lot of arrows out there.
This is regular Lilith you're talking about? Or either form?
Either form. I mean, they concentrate on shooting, and if I'm playing either Lilith, you're throwing your spell up every turn.
Yeah.
Windstorm.
And there's no question.
Yeah. But her regular Lilith's feat, though, would really help against just directly hitting Kruger in the first place.
Because
you might need that extra die.
Yeah. I mean, does the die compensate for the... plus two he's going to give himself and the plus two armor? Maybe.
Well, on average, it'll compensate at least for the hit.
For the
Not so much the armor.
Right. But, yeah. But again, you got to get to him.
Sure.
I mean, Isle of Sight says I'm not going to care about the Cloud most of the time, but I still have to get to him.
Yes.
Right.
He's one of the guys that I can't just say I'm going to ignore your army and go for your caster because he's going to be too far back. So I actually have to take care of your army.
Yeah.
So, you know, Thagrash, I'll throw Deathrow down, lower your strength. It might help me survive with the infantry, and your ambuscade is going to be that much less.
Yeah.
Something. And Angelius, a good choice, but does have problems in this list. It's going to hurt. Lightning's going to hurt against it.
Sure.
If you take a Wold and just charge it, you're probably going to kill it. That's a Forsaken, or that's what Feralgeists are for, but that's beside the point.
The Harrier, can you think of his animus of being any use here?
Well, if I can get up there, but it's a ranged self. I mean, I could send it in like a missile on Kruger, but I'd need either a Shepherd to extend my control radius, or I'd need to be up near him.
Yeah.
If I was playing Ryze, I might actually go ahead and use the Animus.
On her?
Yeah.
Even so, because then you'd be denying yourself the opportunity for the crit decay.
I'd also be hitting.
Well, true, but...
What's your defense against melee? The Skyborn.
I think it might be 17.
Guaranteeing the hit, especially if I feed it, and I'm a swordsman. So if I get three auto-hitting attacks, Weapon Master...
Well, she can only get one auto-hit with Harriers.
Cast Animus attack.
Oh, that's true. You can do it over and over again. Yeah, sure.
Because it's the next attack, so it basically expires.
Right. Oh, I thought it was first attack.
Mm-mm.
Is it next?
The next, yeah. And it also only lasts like a turn or a round, so you can't cast it and expect to use it next turn.
Right.
But yeah.
Huh.
I mean, Harrier missiles would be okay against Kruger.
Yeah.
I mean, if I had a flight of Harriers.
Well, you've also used those guys for targets for Blight Shroud, too. Or,
Blightbringer.
Blightbringer.
Yep, sure, that'll work. That would be a way to get to Kruger, ignoring the rest of your army, but that's tough.
Yeah.
Because my Warcaster has to be up there, too.
Right.
I mean, if my caster is within 18 inches of Kruger, my caster's in the middle of your army.
Pat, what would you do with Scorn?
You know, I think I would take Epic Morgul.
Really?
Yeah, I think that his fan blades are just going to be able to blow away those lightning tendrils. So I think that
Away the cloud that's sitting in front of him.
Yeah, yeah, and especially with the feet, we're not worried about it. He just weighs it really fast and blows those AOEs off course.
Well, the heat from the lightning is going to heat him up a little bit. He might be perspiring. He just fan himself.
That's true. That's true too. I mean, it's a very useful tool. It's very utilitarian.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Moral?
I think it'd be a decent choice.
Yeah. I think the Scorn are going to die in droves, which means Ancestral Guardians are going to suck.
Yeah.
I also like Zol with Ferroxes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Walk, jump, boosted attacks on Kruger.
Extolers.
We don't need to talk about Extoler. Ugh. Yeah, he'd be handy.
Between them, the Ancestral Guardians, your troops dying in droves.
Yeah, the thing is, the Scorn stuff is going to die. So the Scorn really needs to take advantage of that. Like Makeda double-dipping souls and resurrecting models for their feet. Ancestral Guardians. If you've got the points, what's the unit? The unit of stone guys.
Oh, the Immortals?
The Mortals.
I've seen Tim use Hexorus against me and just blow away my Wardens with Deathbringer.
Yeah, you can get stuff up around it. Deathbringer, that's where that'd be true. Scorn has no way of dealing with Undergrowth.
Yeah.
Other than the cats.
Saxon Orc, but I mean...
You know what any Horde army could take?
What's that?
Bog Trogs.
Yep.
That's true. Bog Trogs are a good foil for this because you're coming from the backfield.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that this army's going to have to react to because you can't just leave a unit of Bog Trogs in your backfield.
Right.
Yeah, that'd actually be useful for any of the Horde's armies.
We actually kind of skipped over it a little bit, and it kind of goes without saying, but with Epic Morgul, like Pat mentioned, his feet is going to prevent your Wardens from casting lightning.
Yep.
If you can catch them in there. That gives you a turn to advance without worrying about getting picked off.
Yeah. Anything else you want to cover?
We
didn't do circle?
I'll take the same list. Done.
Hey, there you go.
Wow. That would be brutal.
Yeah, it would.
That game would devolve into 3 miles on 3 models pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Well, plus the bone grinders, so.
Sure.
You may have the gobbers.
Maybe.
Take out something and add the bog trucks.
All right.
So does that conclude our coverage of Kruger?
I hope so. I hope we did it justice. I know people have been wanting a circle discussion for quite a while, so hopefully we did what they needed to hear.
So what do we think when Epic Kruger comes out? Is anybody going to care? Is anybody actually going to field him?
Depends on his rules.
Yeah, we kind of need to see what he does first.
I think that unless he has a 4-round feat, he's not going to see play.
It's hard to top normal Kruger.
That's true.
It is. Well, you know what tops normal Kruger? Epic Thagrosh.
You hope.
Because he's taller.
You hope.
He's taller than almost everything, I bet. I wonder if he's going to be bigger than Terminus.
I don't know. Me and you need to have a Terminus Epic Thagrosh fight.
He looks more compact.
He does. He's definitely more compact, yeah.
Because Terminus spills over his base and up and over, too.
Mm-hmm.
He seems much more...
I think that was done... I think if that was done with playability in mind, it was a good idea.
Yeah, because I know the few times I've played Terminus, trying to get him and the Deathjack just place it's where they need to be is always a pain in the butt.
So, you know, Rapture...
Right.
Thyrosh's weapon has 2-inch reach. It grew. It got bigger now. You think I get 3-inch reach? You think I get permanent lightning tendrils? Maybe fleshy tendrils?
Not for you. You don't need that.
I ignore all the rules. Come on. Privateer Press, give me 4-inch reach, please.
I think we're done here today.
I think so.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Yeah,
happy holidays.
Have a safe new year.
Safe and happy, whatever you choose to do.
Or not do.
Bye, everybody.
See ya.
See ya.
To contact Iron Agenda by email, send your message to contact@ironagenda.com. To send a voicemail, dial 206-333-0983. Iron Agenda is copyright 2008 by its hosts and released under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivative Works 3.0 United States license. Opening and closing music provided courtesy of Joshua Sulfur.